Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of what it means that we have received eternal life. Eternal life comes into us when we're born again. Through the new birth, we receive the life that's in God, the uncreated eternal life. Something of the substance and being of God himself comes into our spirit and recreates it. The entrance of eternal life into our spirit begins a process of transformation that turns us from unrighteous, unholy sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." 1 John 5:11 says, "This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You have something in you that was not in you before you were born again. Your spirit has been made alive with the life that's in God. Your spirit fills your entire body. We discussed that yesterday. We undervalue what happened to us at the new birth, in part because we have a faulty view of our inward makeup. We often talk about conversion as asking Jesus into our hearts, and we envision this little heart-shaped dot on the inside of us. But that phrase is not found in Scripture. That's a whole lesson for another night. The Bible doesn't talk about asking Jesus into our hearts. It talks about us surrendering our lives to Jesus, acknowledge him as Savior and Lord, and give our lives to him to follow him. But the point for our discussion is this. The changes on the inside of you are huge. No, you didn't get a new mind, our new emotions, our new body, and sometimes the unchanged parts of you can seem huge because your attitudes are still the same. Your body still has a lot of the overdeveloped appetites and things. But if you begin to see yourself as you really are, alive with the uncreated life in God and the uncreated life filling your entire body because it's filled your spirit and your spirit fills your body, you can learn to walk in victory in this life. We talked yesterday in Luke about something Jesus said in Luke 16. He described two men who died at about the same time, and he discusses them interacting in the afterlife. I don't like that phrase, afterlife. This is the pre-life. The life to come is the greater and better part of our existence. That's a whole can of worms for another night. But when they, at death, the inward man and the outward man separate, and from Jesus's account of what happened to these two guys, we find out that they were still fully recognizable even though they had left their physical bodies. They weren't little floating heart-shaped dots. They were fully recognizable. Your spirit looks like your body, and your spirit is filled with the life of God. The changed parts of you are actually bigger than the unchanged parts of you. And if you know that and learn to walk in the light of it, you'll walk like Jesus. I'm getting way ahead of myself here. It's going to take us several weeks to work through that. Now, we left off yesterday making the point that the Apostle Paul knew he was bigger on the inside than on the outside, and he knew that the unchanged parts of him he knew that the changed parts of him were bigger than the unchanged parts of him, and he knew that God, who had begun a good work in him, would complete it. You know how Paul came to know Jesus, I'm sure. He was on the road to Damascus. He was a Pharisee and thought this sect of followers of Jesus needed to be wiped out, and he was an ardent persecutor of them. And in Acts chapter 9, we're told that he was on his way to the city of Damascus. He had letters in hand authorizing him to arrest Christians and throw them in jail when Jesus appeared to him. I'm not going to read the passage in the interest of time, but the first words that Jesus spoke to Paul were, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me?" Now think about that for a minute. There's absolutely no record that Paul had any interaction with Jesus until this time. He hadn't seen Jesus. He hadn't done anything to come against Jesus or hurt Jesus. But Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Well, what was Paul doing? He was persecuting Jesus' followers. He called Jesus' followers me. Why is that? Because Jesus is aware of the union between himself and his followers, even if we aren't. He knows he's the vine, and he knows that we're the branches, and he knows that we're united to him and partaking of his life. We're alive with his uncreated life in our innermost being. The first revelation Paul received right there on the road to Damascus was union with Christ. And we talked last week about how that revelation, nobody had been given that revelation up to this point of union with Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verses 26 and 27 make that clear. Jesus had not yet, he didn't reveal it to Peter or James or John in the 40 days after his resurrection, that the 40 more days he stayed on earth after his resurrection. He gave it to Paul. And then Paul was commissioned to go out and preach union with Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verses 26 and 27 tell us that. That was Paul's first revelation of union with Christ. He was sent out to preach it. He knew it was real. And he learned to draw on God's strength and God's ability through that union. See, that's where we're headed in all of this discussion. If you and I can learn to walk in dependence on what's on the inside of us, we'll overcome in the challenges of life. Paul, in the context of suffering, affliction, tribulation, calamity, distress, persecution, hunger, destitution, peril, and sword, Paul was able to declare, "I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I am more than a conqueror through my union with Christ." In the context of being imprisoned, facing possible execution, Paul was able to declare, "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength." That's Philippians 4:13 out of the Amplified. "I can do all things through Christ who lives." I can do all things through Christ. That's not a religious platitude. That's a statement of reality. Paul knew, "I'm in union with Christ. The same life by which Jesus walked in victory on this earth is in me now because I'm a branch of the vine and I can deal with anything by his strength in me." That's how Phillips translates it. "I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives in me." And then in Colossians chapter 1 verse 29, after Paul tells us that he was given the revelation of union with Christ and that that was his mission, to present every man mature through their union with Christ, he said, "I am toiling and struggling." In other words, I'm laboring. I'm working as hard and as much as I can by his active energy, which is working mightily in me. Paul learned to live in dependence on the life of God. Something real, not just a religious phrase, not just something we say in church to pep each other up, but he knew he had something in him that he didn't have before he bowed his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he learned to live by it. Paul was commissioned to preach union with Christ. To him was given the revelation that God is in us by his life and wants to do in and through us all that he provided for us at the cross. See, God works from the inside out. We could do a whole lesson on this. People mistakenly think that God works on us through our circumstances. He'll send a difficult circumstances into our life to knock the rough edges off. Well, if that were true, we should all be perfected by now because we all face difficulties. But nowhere does the Bible say that God works on us. You're going to have to read the New Testament to see if I'm telling the truth or not, but I am. It says he works in us. God works from the inside out. Physical strength for service comes from our recreated spirit. It comes from the life of God in us. Physical health comes from inside us. Health is in you because the life of God is in you. Whatever's in that life is in you because that life is in you. Emotional peace is Christ by his life in us manifested in our mortal flesh. Let me just read you some verses. Paul wrote every one of these. Philippians 2:13. I'm going to read most of them out of the Amplified. Philippians 2:13. He's instructed these people to bring to completion their salvation. In other words, become mature in Christ, not in your own strength. This is verse 13. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you. Notice, he's working in you. Energizing and creating in you the power and the desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So much we could say about that. But he's telling these people God's working in you to be your ability. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may God strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with every good that you may carry out his will while he himself works in you. There it is again. He works in you and accomplishes that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus. See, God works in us through union with Christ. We spend a lot of time asking God to give us what he's already put in us by putting his life in us. Romans 8:11 says, yea, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead be dwelling in you, he who raised Christ from the dead shall endow with life also your dying bodies by his spirit which dwells in you. See, his life is in you to give life to your body for physical strength and for healing. It doesn't come from without, it comes from within. Romans 5:10, it is much more certain now that we are reconciled to God that we shall be saved or daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life. The same life that conquered death and raised Jesus from the dead is in you and me now. Salvation is so much more than not going to hell. It's being delivered from the effects of sin in every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body by the life of God, and being transformed into holy, righteous sons and daughters who live and walk as Jesus did. More tomorrow.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.